move on to staff, the presentation of staff reports. 11.1. Oh, sorry. I'll move. I've gone straight past it. Sorry. Item 8 on the agenda, petitions and joint letters.
There are nil, Madam Mayor.
Resumption of debate or other business carried over from previous meeting.
Nil, Madam Mayor.
Public question time.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. We have 7 public questions this evening. First of those is from Mr. David O'Connor, who's in the gallery. Question reads, the developers for the Rosenthal Estate in Sunbury have announced that a new shopping precinct will form part of their development, which will include a full-line Woolworths supermarket and specialty shops. The website is reference is given. Given that this estate is less than 5 kilometres from the Bloomdale Estate, would Council seek to obtain an update from the investor group with respect to the current status of the shopping centre plan for Diggers Rest in particular, an estimated timeline for its completion? This question will be answered by Mr. Luke Shannon, General Manager Planning and Development.
Thank you, Mr. O'Connor, for your question. As you might be aware, the precinct structure planning for both Diggers Rest and Sunbury do include opportunities for local activity centres or local shopping centres. So it has always been expected that as Sunbury continues to grow, it will have a series of small neighbourhood centres, if you like, to service the new population. Equally, the planning for Diggers Rest provides for a neighbourhood shopping centre in Vineyard Road, or just adjacent to Vineyard Road, as part of the Bloomdale development. It's owned by the developers of the Bloomdale Estate. And that centre is intended to provide for the new growth of Diggers Rest and also the existing community, obviously, as it continues to grow. The timing of that centre is unclear at the moment. We have high-level plans that have been lodged with Council that just show at a higher level how that site might be developed. Obviously, I would expect that the developers would only develop that when it's commercially viable. We do meet with them from time to time, so I'm certainly happy to raise with them the issue of when they feel the construction of that might occur. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Shannon.
Mr. O'Connor, clarification?
Through you, Madam Mayor, typically the way a development like that would occur is behind the scenes, if you like, the developer would enter into agreements with providers, so one of the major shopping facilities, Coles or Woolworths, typically. We're not privy to those particular details. We certainly do expect that one of the majors would have a presence there, as well as a number of specialty shops. So whether there's an ironclad agreement in place or not, Council's not typically privy to, but you can be fairly certain that there will be a reasonably sized commercial local shopping centre built there in the foreseeable future. Thank you, Madam Mayor.
The next question, Madam Mayor, is from Stavrula Singh. Is Ms. Singh in the gallery? Okay. A written response will be provided to that question, which relates to the application for a telecommunications facility. Next question is from Ray Johnson. Is Mr. Johnson in the gallery? It's not. Again, a written response will be provided to Mr. Johnson. The questions relate to access to the Ainsbury Township and development of a on and off ramps at the Clarks Road Bridge. The next question is from Susan Mangion, who is in the gallery. There are two elements to this question. Firstly, Council's five-year municipal plan, section 4.2.5, states Council's intention to support opportunities for community gardens. The annual municipal action plan 2014-15 indicates intentions to develop the background report for community gardens and edible planting. What is the Council's intention for the 2015-16 action plan to address item 4.2.5? And secondly, in relation to the community garden policy itself, the policy does not provide clear guidance on what steps need to be taken. For example, who is the first point of call in this process, etc. Will there be a procedural document to guide community groups, specifically on the following? Clear steps involved, who is responsible for each step, what, if any, resources Council have, who is responsible for the costs associated with each step. Mr. Murray Heaney, General Manager, Community Services, will provide the response.
Susan? Yep, thank you, and thanks for your question. In relation to the gardens policy, that is a subject of tonight's Council agenda in item 11.7, so I can't comment on that at the moment. The Council will have its deliberations on that in a short time. But I can say that if endorsed this evening, then we'll proceed to work on the 15-16 action plan. So it's all pending the decision of the Council this evening, as you can understand. And yes, I take your point that understanding that we will have to have additional community consultation, and there will be a document that will provide some guidance to the community on access. And we'll provide you a written response post this Council meeting. Thanks again for your questions. Yeah, post tonight? Yes, the community groups will be, but it's all subject to Council endorsing it this evening. Yeah. We'll move to the next step post that decision.
The next question is from Monica Thomas, who's in the gallery. The question reads, I would like to know when the burned-out house situated at 221 Station Road, Melton, is to be demolished. This house has been an eyesore for a number of years, and I feel it is now time for Council to take the necessary action for removal of this house, as it is a major hazard. I would hate to think of what would happen if someone decides to go into the property with the possibility of the building collapsing and could even kill the person entering the property. Sir Peter Bean, the General Manager Corporate Services, will respond.
Thanks for your question, Monica. Council is actually currently negotiating with the owners of the property to have the house demolished, and we are actually anticipating that a demolition permit will be issued in the near future, and we are saying the near future. Council is actually encouraged with the owners' willingness to address this issue, and it's they who have come to Council to talk to Council about this action. Thank you.
Thank you, Peter.
Next question is from David O'Connor, who is in the gallery. And the question is, I make reference to the attached public question time response with respect to the Neighbourhood House Strategic Framework Report and the attachment I won't read. In accordance with the response, would Council please provide details of the further engagement which was planned to occur throughout 2014, including Diggers Rest? And the General Manager Community Services, Murray Heaney, will respond.
Thanks, David, for your question. And the attached document was a letter from myself. I acknowledge that, to say that we intended to have further consultation with those communities last year. Saying that, it was important that we, as we call it in Council, we activate these facilities, new or old, and we've had some structure changes within the organisation to accommodate that, and we're seeing major increases in attendance to those facilities or neighbourhood houses as we speak. I will take on board your comment, though, and it's a fair comment, and talk to the team tomorrow about that further engagement process with Diggers Rest and those other community groups. Thanks, David.
Thank you, Mr. Heaney.
Okay, and the final question this evening is from Mario Kasia, and Mr. Kasia's in the gallery. Mr. Kasia's question actually takes up quite a large number of pages, so I'll pricey it and hopefully I get it reasonably accurate. Okay.
Okay.
Is that in him, Mr. Hayshaw? Thank you very much, love.
Yep.
Thank you.
Okay. Thank you. All right. Thank you, Madam Mayor.
Thank you, Mr. Tory. Okay, presentation of staff reports. We'll move on to 11.1.
Madam Mayor, I'd like to move that following items be blocked, moved in block. Item 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 11, 14 and 15. Endorsing all items as per officer's recommendations.
Okay. Councillor Turner has moved a procedural motion that the following items be blocked. Is there a seconder?
I'd like to second that, Madam Mayor.
Okay. The motions before us has been moved by Councillor Turner, seconded by Councillor Cugliari. All those in favour? Motion's carried. Thank you. For those in the gallery that aren't aware of what's just taken place, although all the items that were mentioned have now been accepted and the recommendations that were contained within have been adopted. So as one was asking in regards to 11.7, that's been moved and seconded. Right, we will now move on to 11.9. The Essential Services Commission rating cap, and this item will be presented by Mr. Peter Bean.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. I present to Council this evening Council's submission to the Essential Services Commission in regard to the Government direction regarding rate capping. In January 2015, the Andrews Labor Government announced its intention to act on its state election commitment to cap Council rates at CPI inflation levels. The rate capping policy will be implemented for the 2016-2017 financial year. In January 2015, as said, the Minister for Local Government advised that a rate cap would be introduced before the start of the 16-17 financial year. The Minister also advised the Council should not adopt unnecessary rate rises in the 2015-16 year, as it may affect eligibility for future rate cap exemptions. At this same time, the Essential Services Commission then received a terms of reference from the Minister for Finance in consultation with the Minister for Local Government to conduct a review and report on a local government rates capping and variation framework. The Commission has been tasked, to inquire into and advise the Ministers on options and a recommended approach for a rates capping framework for implementation for the 16-17 financial year. The Commission will also be required to provide advice on the processes and guidance to best give effect to the recommended approach for any rates capping and any variation framework that may be applied to any eligible municipal council within the State of Victoria. The Commission required this to be completed by 31 October 2015. On the 17th of April of this year, the Commission released its consultation paper relating to this review. This paper outlines the review's timelines and processes, their approach, and seeks feedback from all interested parties on key matters for this review. Attached as Appendix 1 for Council's consideration is Melton's submission in regard to this matter. Melton's submission was based on matters affecting Melton as a growth council and the certainty required for this council in preparing its strategic resource plan and ongoing capital works program. In particular, that the specific document highlights the following five key factors. It is, in fact, that Melton indicated that instead of using CPI as a level or an index, an appropriate local government cost index should be adapted and developed as a base for the cap. At least a four-year certainty in advance of the indicated cap rates is necessary so the Council can prepare its strategic resource plan with confidence, knowing these decisions. A different cap should apply to different groups of councils, so Melton, being a growth council, should have a higher cap, which in effect will reduce the number of applications needing to be processed by the Essential Services Commission in any given year for variations. Waste management charges should not be included in the cap, as this will have the potential of restricting council from recovering the full cost of providing that service. And finally, the request for variation should be made simple, so the council should be able to request in a single application for up to 4 years based on its strategic resource plan. All of this is outlined in the appendix stated as Appendix 1. According to the Essential Services Commission website, a total of 249 submissions have been received to date, This includes submissions from 53 of the 79 municipal councils, peak industry organisations like the Municipal Association of Victoria, FinPro, LG Pro, Interface Councils, Ratepayer Associations and, of course, individuals. With this in mind, Madam Mayor, I present to Council the report and the attached appendix. The Council notes the attached submission at Appendix 1 submitted to the Essential Services Commission on Rate Capping and Local Government. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Bean. Does any Council seek further clarification? Is there a mover for the recommendation?
Madam Mayor, I'd like to move the recommendation and in doing so thank the officers for the work put into this recommendation, and I feel we should accept it as is.
Thank you, Councillor Turner. We have a mover being Councillor Turner for the motion. Is there a seconder?
I'll second that, Madam Mayor.
Thank you, Councillor Cugliari. Okay, the motion before us has been moved by Councillor Turner, seconded by Councillor Cugliari. All those in favour? Motion's carried. Thank you. 11.10 on the agenda, submission to the Victorian Royal Commission into Family Violence. Mr. Morihini to report.
Thank you, Madam Mayor and the councillors. This is to seek council's endorsement of the Melton City Council submission to the Victorian Royal Commission into Family Violence. Council has a strong commitment into the health and well-being of our residents, as outlined in the Council Plan 213-217, and of course our Municipal Public Health and Wellbeing Plan 213-217. In particular, a shared vision for creating a community that is safe, but is also healthy and free from violence. Further to this commitment, Council endorsed the Preventing Violence Against Women and Their Children strategy and the action plan attached to that for the term of 213-216, and a family violence policy. So the Council takes this very seriously. The Victorian State Government is currently undertaking a Royal Commission into Family Violence, demonstrating a keen level of commitment on their behalf to understand the prevalence, the seriousness and the preventable nature of family violence within Victoria. Saying that, submissions close on the 29th of May. Council officers have prepared a submission as presented in Appendix 1 of this document, for Council's consideration and endorsement. Council has also contributed to three additional submissions prepared by the MAV, Municipal Association of Victoria, the Western Region via Preventing Violence Together Partnership, and that's led by Women's Health West, and the third one, the Interface Council submission, so very active in this space. Each submission is consistent with Council's vision and key direction in documents addressing family violence and the prevention of violence against women. Of course, local government is well placed to deliver community-based responses to family violence, given the close nature by which council officers work with individuals. Families and community organisations to deliver frontline, whole-of-life services. They are ideally situated to promote community efforts to address the causes of family violence against women. To this end, in November 2013, Council adopted the Preventing Violence Against Women and Their Children strategy, as indicated earlier on, and the action plan again attached to this document. The strategy guides an organisational response to prevent violence against women and contribute to a community where women live free from violence and fear of violence. A key preventative action within the strategy is to prepare submissions in response to state and federal government policy reforms relating to women and children's wellbeing and the prevention of family violence. For example, in Australia, one in three women will experience physical violence and one in five women will experience sexual violence, which is sad. Research demonstrates that one in four young people have witnessed violence against their mother or stepmother, and up to one in five children are subject to violence within their home. For Victorian women aged between 15 and 44 years, violence against women is a leading cause of illness, death, disability and is a greater contributor to the burden of death than physical inactivity, unhealthy body weight, drug and alcohol-related harm and tobacco use. In saying this, Madam Mayor, if I can just talk about the submission for one very quickly, which is an important document. The submission is attached in Appendix 1 and is underpinned by local government's unique role in preventing violence against women, with a strong focus on the determinants. It highlights the prevalence and outlines localised contributing factors such as mortgage stress, other financial stress, new births, difficulties accessing services, drug and alcohol use, and of course, isolation. It includes and emphasises good practice examples of council work to prevent violence against women, including the following: the Take a Stand organisational wide training to prevent violence against women, which council operated in 2013, are very strong in. The Workplace Family Violence Policy in 2013. The Preventing Violence Against Women and Their Children Policy, as stated earlier, in 2013. And, of course, our very strong White Ribbon Action Team established in 2014. And another document, Preventing Violence Against Women and Their Children, and the plan attached to that for the term of 2013-2016. So, Madam Mayor and Councillors, at the bottom of page 145 are the key recommendations going into the depth of the appended report on this. I don't anticipate to go right through that heavy document. We've responded to that for the Victorian Government, and all being well, if endorsed this evening, we intend to submit that by the closing date that the Victorian Government has requested. So, Madam Mayor and Councillors, can I put forward to you the two recommendations? And that is that we endorse the Melton City Council submission to the Victorian Royal Commission into Family Violence, as presented in the attached document, Appendix 1. And note, the Municipal Association of Victoria, Preventing Violence Together, and the Interface Council submission to the Victorian Royal Commission into Family Violence, which Council has contributed to as a signatory and a member agency. Thank you, Madam Mayor.
Thank you, Mr. Heaney. Does any councillor require further clarification on this item? Is there a mover for the recommendation?
Madam Mayor, I move that the officer's recommendations be adopted, and I thank council staff and commend their actions with respect to this document.
Thank you, Councillor Bentley. We have a mover for the motion being Councillor Bentley. Is there a seconder?
I'd like to second that. Thank you, Madam Mayor.
Okay. Motion before us has been moved by Councillor Bentley, seconded by Councillor Dunn. All those in favour of the recommendation? The recommendation's carried. Thank you. Okay. 11.12, Kindergarten Universal Access Funding. Mr Heaney to report.
Thanks again, Madam Mayor. Council, this is to provide you an update on the Federal Government's recent decision to extend the Universal Access Funding for a further 2 years. For a very quick update to the gallery, the Universal Access Program was a funded program where the Victorian Government funds 10 hours of kindergarten provision for four-year-old children, and the Federal Government some time ago took the initiative to fund an additional 5 hours for those children to attend kinder, being a four-year-old kinder program, 1 year before attending school. The Universal Access Program has been in for some years now, and Council's been very active in this space in implementing the Universal Access Program into kindergartens that Council has direction of central enrolments processing and four-year-old kindergarten access. We're proud to say that during that journey over many years that this Council has achieved 100% access for those children to access the 15 hours of kindergarten. Council has been advocating for some time for this funding to continue. There was a couple of years ago that the Federal Government announced that they would cease to fund the 5 hours kindergarten, which comes into many millions of dollars, under a national partnership agreement some time ago, and they would cease to fund the state government to continue that program, i.e. the 15 hours provision. Council has been very active in this space, as has all councils, and community service organisations that provide kinders, but in hand with the MAV have been successful in achieving additional funding up to December this year, and not that long ago, the federal government has announced to continue the funding, not permanently, by the way, for the sake of the gallery and the council, but has continued to provide the universal access funding, or program as we call it, for a further 2 years, which will take us to the end of 2017. So all is not achieved yet, Madam Mayor and councillors. We are funded again, where children will have the opportunity for 15 hours kindergarten up to the end of 2017. So that advocacy will continue to try and get that assistance, financial assistance for the federal government to the state, to continue on and beyond the 2017 term. So really, Madam Mayor, it's really for the council to note the Australian government's initiative to fund the program for a further 2 years from the end of this year that will take us up to the end of 2017. Mm-hmm. And also the recommendation too on the report is to write to the federal government expressing council's appreciation for the extension of the funding and calling on the federal government to provide certainty in the industry by adopting the universal kindergarten access program as an ongoing program. Thank you, Madam Mayor.
Thank you, Mr. Heaney. Does any council require further clarification? Is there a mover for the recommendation before us?
Madam Mayor, I'd like to move the recommendation.
Thank you, Councillor Cugliari. The motion before us has been moved by Councillor Cugliari. Is there a seconder?
I'd like to second that. Thank you, Madam Mayor.
Councillors, the motion before us has been moved by Councillor Cugliari, seconded by Councillor Dunn. All those in favour of the motion? The motion's carried. Thank you. Item 11.13 on the agenda.
Madam Mayor, I'd like to raise to move to actually defer this agenda item for the next meeting of council.
Okay. Councillor Cugliari has moved a motion to defer this item. Is that motion seconded?
I'd like to second it. Thank you, Madam Mayor.
Okay. The motion before us has been moved by Councillor Cugliari, seconded by Councillor Dunn. All those in favour of the motion? Motion's carried. Thank you. Go on to item 11.16. Petition of Beattie's Road, Leakes Road to Mount Cottrell Road and Mount Cottrell Road, Beattie's Road to Melton Highway is to be presented by Mr. Shannon. Thank you.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. This report presents to Council a petition that was tabled at the March Council meeting. The petition contained 25 signatories that effectively sought for a section of Beattie's Road and Mount Cottrell Road to be sealed. And if I can refer Council laws to Appendix Number 1, the plan provided there indicates the exact location of the road referred to in the petition. Attached to the petition, Madam Mayor, were a range of other documents which included correspondence to state parliamentarians as well as a range of other supporting and background information. Madam Mayor, the area of land in question is included within what is known as the urban growth boundary, effectively that area between Caroline Springs and the Melton Township that will be developed for residential purposes into the future as part of the future growth of Melbourne generally, metropolitan Melbourne. Specifically, the land is included within what's known as the Melton East Precinct Structure Plan area. That precinct structure plan has not yet been prepared, and it's unclear at this time exactly when the Metropolitan Planning Authority will prepare that. However, I'm sure they'll turn their mind to that issue once they've completed the three main PSPs they're working on at the moment, which are Mount Atkinson, Corroit and Plumpton precinct structure plans. Madam Mayor, as part of the future development of this wider area, and the range of roads will be constructed by developers as development unfolds. The exact details of how that will unfold won't be known exactly until the precinct structure plan is prepared. Madam Mayor, the report on page 264 provides details of the existing traffic volumes on both of those roads. There's been two recent counts taken at each end of both roads, and those counts range between 226 vehicles per day and 300 vehicles per day. So it's relatively modest traffic movements, certainly compared to a range of other gravel roads in the municipality, which is detailed further on in the report. Madam Mayor, the gravel roads are under a maintenance regime, as is our entire road network throughout the municipality. We currently have around about 150 kilometres of gravel road. Much of that will be sealed, as I've mentioned, as urban development occurs within the urban growth boundary. It's recommended, as outlined on page 263, effectively that council continue to maintain these in a gravel form under our current maintenance regime, and that the lead petitioner be advised accordingly. Thank you, Madam Mayor.
Thank you, Mr. Shannon. Does any council require further clarification on this item? Is there a mover for the recommendation?
I'd like to move that recommendation. Thank you, Madam Mayor.
We have a mover for the recommendation, or for the motion, being Councillor Dunn. Is there a seconder?
I'll second that, Madam Mayor.
The motion before us, councillors, has been moved by Councillor Dunn, seconded by Councillor Turner. All those in favour of the motion? The motions, the two recommendations listed on the agenda paper. Page 263. I declare the motion carried. Thank you. 11.17, the state and federal budgets impacts for the City of Melton. The item's finished. We've moved on to 11.17.
Thank you, Madam Mayor.
Mr. Tory to report.
Yes, thank you, Madam Mayor. The purpose of this report is to advise Council of matters contained within the Victorian State Budget and the Commonwealth Budget which have impact upon the City of Melton. The State and Federal Governments have both recently released their 2015-16 budgets, and officers have analysed the contents of the budgets in relation to what impacts are contained within them for the City of Melton and service delivery to the Melton community. With respect to the state budget, the highlight which was referred to earlier by the Mayor when reading the letter from the Minister for Local Government was certainly the announcement of the creation of the Interface Community Infrastructure Fund, which in the first year will make available $50 million amongst the 10 interface councils, including the City of Melton, to assist in the provision of community infrastructure, such as community centres, sporting facilities, etc. It is, of course, our expectation that this fund will continue to be provided on an annual basis, whilst the quantum may vary, the continuation of the fund will be of significant ongoing benefit to the City of Melton. As you would be aware, Council has advocated for this fund to be established for some years, both in its own right and as a member of the Interface Group of Councils. And the success of that lobby work is certainly going to reap considerable benefit going forward. Council does have a number of shovel-ready projects, Madam Mayor, that will be submitted to the program for funding, and we are looking forward to the development of the funding conditions and the approval process, which is currently being worked on between the department and each of the interface councils. Further items of interest in the state budget included the funding of local learning and employment networks, which had been scheduled to terminate on 30th of June. However, it has been extended for a 4-year period, and that's rather pleasing given the work that's been done by the local learning and employment network within Melton. It's also additional funding to the TAFE sector, which is a very important element in supporting particularly the youth of our community to obtain meaningful qualifications to assist them in achieving productive employment. Other elements within the state budget that have some impact for providers of a variety of services within the municipality include programs and services targeting vulnerable families, children and young people to receive an additional $283 million over 4 years, an additional $117.5 million towards mental health, $88.1 million to fund the continuation of the Royal Commission into Family Violence, and we just heard in relation to Council's submission on that, $100 million into a community sports infrastructure fund to help sporting clubs upgrade tired grounds and build facilities they require, with a particular emphasis on female change rooms, which is lacking at many grounds throughout the state. And a funding boost to support Victoria's most vulnerable, that is people with a disability, their families and carers, as well as those who are either homeless or facing homelessness, with an additional $212.8 million budget allocation. With respect to the federal government budget, there was only a limited number of initiatives that specifically related to the City of Melton. The announcement of the 2-year extension of the National Partnership Agreement on Universal Access was in an earlier report this evening, so I won't go into that. The federal budget also confirmed previously announced commitment from the federal government to continue with and expand the Roads to Recovery program, which has been a significant boost to council's ability to upgrade the road network in recent years. Under this program, council receives approximately $600,000 per annum historically. However, this year the annual figure has increased to some $740,000 approximate, but there is a double up in 2015-16. So our grant will be approximately $1.5 million, but in subsequent years we'll revert back to that $740,000 base approximately. This is a significant boost, as I said, for council, and has been included in council's budget, or draft budget that's been on exhibition. So, thank you, Madam Mayor. I recommend that that report be noted.
Thank you, Mr. Tory. Does any councillor seek any further clarification on 1117, the state and federal budgets and the impacts on the City of Melton? Is there a mover for the recommendation?
I'll move it, Madam Mayor.
Thank you, Councillor Cugliari. The motion before us has been moved by Councillor Cugliari. Is there a seconder?
I'll second that, Madam Mayor.
Councillors, the motion before us has been moved by Councillor Cugliari, seconded by Councillor Bentley. All those in favour? The motion's carried. We will move on to now notice of motion 403. No? 27. Oh, I've gone again. There you go. It's thrown me. Report from delegates appointed to other bodies. Who's really keen to go first? Councillor Dunn.
Always keen, Madam Mayor. On the 4th of the 5th, I attended a policy review panel, and I also attended the annual grants in your place, and I thank you very much for that. It's a nice change. Thank you.
Thank you. Councillor Turner?
Yes, Madam Mayor. Attended the Youth Council on the 22nd of April, which was inviting the Witten Project winners, as such, the ones that were nominated for the Witten Project, to come to Melton Council and be involved in some of the projects that they're doing youth services, and that was a really good night. It was good to meet the young people and see them involved with the City Council. Also attended on the 18th of the 5th the Strategic Health Forum. It was rather a short meeting, unusual. It usually lasts for a couple hours, but there was only one report on the agenda, which was the update of the Melton community-based ambulatory care centre, which looks to be on track, I believe, for middle of 2017. We should see that delivered. Thank you, Madam Mayor.
Thank you. Councillor Bentley.
Don't have anything to report. No delegation bodies, Madam Mayor.
Thank you, Councillor Bentley. Councillor Cugliaro.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. For this month, I had three committee meetings, an annual grant assessment with are in the confidential part of this agenda. I also had a monthly assessment grant meeting and a reconciliation advisory committee where it did not proceed because we didn't have enough members meeting.
Thank you. And councillors, I attended the audit committee and the PDAC meeting this month. Okay, having dealt with those, councillor representations and acknowledgements. The record of Assembly of Councillors in accordance with section 80A1 of the Local Government Act 1989. Do they reflect the dates, the 28th of April, the 5th of May, the 12th of May and the 19th of May? Have I got a councillor prepared to move the recommendation?
Madam Mayor, I'll move the recommendation that on item 13.1, Assembly of Councillors, the record of Assembly of Councillors attached to this agenda, 28th of April, 5th of May, 12th of May and 19th of May, be received and noted.
Okay, the motion's been moved by Councillor Turner. Is the motion seconded?
I'll second that, Madam Mayor.
Motion's been moved by Councillor Turner, seconded by Councillor Bentley. All those in favour of the motion? The motion's been carried. Okay. Public address by each councillor. I'll shake it up a little bit more this time. Councillor Bentley, would you like to present to the appointments you've had in the last month?
Thank you, Madam Mayor. There's only a couple of appointments to save it not going on all night long. There's just a few that I'd like to address. If we can think our mind back to just after our last council meeting, where we remembered our fallen diggers via Anzac Day. I was lucky enough to attend the dawn service in the march, and it was amazing how many people turned out to our dawn service. I believe the estimates were greater than 6,000 people, and I think there were similar numbers in great numbers in Caroline Springs as well. So it was great to see the people of our community remember those who have served our country and fought for our freedom and unfortunately gave their lives in doing so. And in saying that, it led on to something else that I've done this month. It's given me the opportunity to be involved in our citizenship ceremonies. And it was great to see, I think we had 120 people earlier this month become citizens and take the pledge. And it was great to see the enthusiasm they had for our country and our municipality. And Bob was having a good chat to a few of them, saying, where are you from? And they'd just say, I'm from Melton, I'm from Hillside, from Caroline Springs. And the smiles on their faces was just amazing that they were wanting to live here and build a life here in Melton. And lastly, again, being a councillor, lucky enough to get invited to the Melton Business Excellence Awards. There's a lot of people who work hard to build businesses in this community, and it's small recognition for what they do. It creates jobs for our local residents, and it was great just to recognise them and to see the effort that they are doing. And I'm sure somebody else will talk more to this, but I wasn't there, but it was great to see that the Western Base was opened this month as well. Thank you, Madam Mayor.
Thank you, Councillor Bentley. And I'm sure he's been quite bashful here, being only his second meeting, but he's attended a lot more than just those that he mentioned. He's worked exceptionally hard. Councillor Cugliari.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. I won't go blank this time. I'd like to take this opportunity to highlight Reconciliation Week, which will commence tomorrow, the 27th of May, and it will run to the 3rd of June. It is celebrated across Australia. The dates commemorate two significant milestones in the reconciliation journey. The week is a time for all Australians to learn about our shared histories, cultures and achievements, and to explore how each of us can join the national reconciliation effort. The theme for National Reconciliation Week is It's Time to Change It Up, and it's about time to some fresh action to spark a change in schools, workplace or community, to share culture, connect with community, stop racism or celebrate Indigenous success at every opportunity. Thank you, Madam Mayor.
Thank you, Councillor Cugliari. And I believe there's going to be a walk later this week at the Friends Botanical Gardens.
It's on the Friday.
Friday, excellent. Councillor Dunn.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. I actually attended over 15 in the last month, so I won't go through the whole lot. We did have the Heritage Awards, which I'm also always very happy to attend, and it's great to see the recipients was Norwood, which was bird twitching hut, twitching is bird watching, sorry. I attended the Caroline Springs Dawn Service, and I had the pleasure of making a speech there, and it was very moving. It was very... the clouds dissipated as soon as it got underway, so it was very moving to see how many people turned up, and good to see the youth actually attending as well. I attended the launch of St Michael's Ethiopian Church with Mr Turner in Ravenhall, and that was fantastic. They served up the best vegetarian meals. So.
I thought I was there too.
Oh, and sorry, and yourself, Madam Mayor, all I could think about was the food, and I've got a really good recipe for the lentils. If anyone wants it at all, I can share. I attended the coin toss as well at the Caroline Springs Oval, and once again that was a great thing for a local football club to actually do. The Melton Business Excellence Awards, I won't go over that because Councillor Bentley's already run over that, but it's great to see our local businesses. I'm coming from a small business background, it's great to actually see our businesses being patted on the back for the great achievements. And touching on that, the Western Base was opened as well, and that's great to see that firing up, and give it a plug if there's any small businesses want a bit of a head start. Great place to network, share ideas. That's what small business is all about. I attended the opening the Blessing of Performing Arts at Melton CRC. Fire as a management tool coming from the land, I thought that was very important to attend. Launch of the Greening of the West, once again, that's right up my alley with trees. Citizenship ceremony, Melton South Community Centre official opening, and the Bridge Road Children's and Community Centre opening, which it's great to see our facilities opening up and the children really being inspiring and creating their own outdoor areas to play in, and just sort of makes us wish that we were children again. Volunteer Week celebration and the later. Thank you.
Thank you, Councillor Dunn. Councillor Turner.
Yes, Madam Mayor. What a great month it's been. It's fantastic. It's great to see all the councillors, you know, all the different events as well.
Mm.
Quite a few of us end up with the same ones, so I'll just skip over a few of them that we've all been at, like the RSL, we've all spoken, Miles, and a few of the other ones, the Ethiopian Church with Madam Mayor and Councillor Dunn. Citizenship ceremony was a great night, as always. One of the highlights of the month was the Council Volunteer Night. It was a really good night with special guest Tristan Miller, speaking about 52 marathons in 52 weeks. Sorry, not days, that would kill him. But yeah, no, he was an amazing speaker, and he's got me on the road again. I've started out walking again in my dreams. Anyway, a couple of drop-in sessions for the transport strategy, and that was on the 18th and last night was the House and Character Study and Design. I believe they had them in Melton and at Caroline Springs. I didn't get to the Caroline Springs one, but got to the Melton ones. And it was reasonable turnout on the second night. The housing one was a little bit quieter, but I believe they're getting a lot of interaction on the websites, so it seems to be getting a lot of feedback, which is obviously what it's all set up to do. Thank you, Madam Mayor.
Thank you, Councillor Turner. There's a few things I want to mention, so please bear with me. Since the last council meeting, this month started off as a real pleasant time. I had the honour of visiting Keith Edward Cowman, who turned 100 years of old, and he looked like a spring chicken of about 70. He was sensational, and his darling wife was 97 and did not want to look forward to turning 100, so I hope she does it by all accounts. I attended the opening of the Western Edge Cluster Trade Training Centre. Mr Tory and myself went down to the VLGA rate capping for the essential services, the great debate, and we partook in that and let them know strongly Melton's position there. There was the citizenship of 120 new Meltonians. I attended the City of Melton Heritage Award and watched Roger and Margaret Wood get acknowledged for the wonderful work they had done in their building. I also attended the RSL Dawn Service and the march later that day, but the week earlier I attended the RSL Caroline Springs inaugural march with Councillor Lara Carley and also Councillor Turner, and that was all those events were exceptionally moving, and also the coin toss for the football game that was held to commemorate the Anzac. So there was a lot of different events going over a period of about 2 weeks, and it was great to see all parts of our community giving it a go. The launch of St Michael's Ethiopian was quite moving, and yes, the food was sensational. The business awards, as always, at a new venue, being Tabcorp Park, was bigger than Ben-Hur. That we had some great businesses and some apprentices being recognised, and also some community groups that, and I acknowledge the Friends of Melton Botanical Gardens taking out an award yet again. I don't know if I ever attend with you two and you don't get an award, I don't know what day of the week it is. There's on to changeover dinner where yours truly was the guest speaker. I don't know why. I didn't think anything I said was exceptionally moving, but I keep getting all these wonderful letters telling me I did a great thing that night, so hopefully I said something right. The opening of the Western Base was something that I've been looking forward to, and this council has been looking forward to for the better part of about 4 years. We were one of three that were recognised with an Australia-wide grant that was also supported by the National Growth Areas Authority, and we were the first one to we weren't the first one to launch or open, but we were the first one to launch completed. And I want to acknowledge the appointment of the new chief executive there, being Mark Coy. So, well done. I attended the official opening of the refurbished Melton South Community Centre at Diggers Rest, at DJ Cunningham Reserve. The Bridge Road Children's Services Centre, which was opened with Jenny Makakos, and also the Tanaka Springs opening. There was a number of different openings, the official opening of the SES Shed, the official opening of the Eclipse Childcare Centre. I attended the ALGWA, well, it's the Australian Local Government Women's Association, 100-year photo of all women in local government at the Melbourne Town Hall. So that was really quite interesting. And we also had, that photo was taken in conjunction with the local government minister, Natalie Hutchins. Council's Volunteer Week celebration could not have been gone off better, and Councillor Turner was very quick to talk about the guest speaker, but there was another councillor that got co-opted from their chair to have a bit of a song and dance with the lady comedian. And Councillor Turner, you brought the house down. You really, really did. I just want to make a quick note that tomorrow is fatality, is the sign-up for Fatality Free Friday. The actual day is Friday, but we're launching it at the Courthouse Square tomorrow at midday. So please think about your speed limit every day, but incredibly go down and make the pledge, because Melton always has a focus for Fatality Free Friday, and we want to make sure that this year's bigger and better than any other years. Now, I said that month started off on a high. It also preceded to one of the hardest months of my life. I've often said it takes a village to raise a child. I lost my poor mum on the 5th of this month. She was a rock as far as me doing anything I wanted in regards to council. I want to thank each and every community member that sent either an SMS, a card, a bunch of flowers, or attended the funeral, or just saw me down the street and offered a kind word. I don't know how I'm going to cope without her, but I'm going to do everything in her honour. So the month also continued to go downhill after that. On the 9th of that month, 4 days later, a staff member that had been part of these four walls, Lynn Nagy, our chief executive personal assistant, Lynn Nagy, for 29 and a half years, passed away. Her service to this community has been nothing but exceptional. On the 11th of this month, Charlie McVie, who was the president and also the deputy chair of the Melton South Community Centre, passed away. And his passing, he was so committed to doing anything and everything he could in regards to the Melton South community. On the 16th of this month, Pat Walsh passed away. He was a founder and part of the Melton Gardening Club, and so committed to that space or our environment that it wasn't funny. So just with those losses alone, there's a huge void in this community. But also on the 22nd of this month, a former councillor, Councillor Trevor Kneebone, who was part of the council in the early 90s, 93 and 94, passed away. His funeral was today. So I just wanted to acknowledge their service, not only to my family, but to the community of the City of Melton. It's been a real void this month, and I'm hoping that's it, no more. Everybody's going to stay healthy, because I don't want to attend any more funerals. Thank you very much. Okay. Well, Geraint. Okay, Fatality Free Friday, and we have got an absolutely exceptional notice of motion, 403, by Councillor Cugliari.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. This notice was given at the ordinary meeting of Council held on the 21st of April, 2014, of my intention to move the... should be 2015, of my intention to move the following motion of the ordinary meeting of Council to be held on the 26th of May 2015. And the motion states that Council write to Mr. Luke Donnellan, Minister for Roads and Road Safety, Mr. Wade Noonan, Minister for Police, all local members of the Legislative Assembly and Legislative Council, and the CEO of Vic Roads, calling on them to take the necessary action to have speed limits on all unsealed roads in the City of Melton reduced to 50 kilometres per hour on the grounds that the road safety is compromised of the existing 100 kilometres limit, as there is no restricted visibility caused by dust or unsealed roads. Unsealed roads have a lower level of surface friction. There is often inadequate signage and or inadequate driver attention to existing signage. No line marking exists to delineate traffic lanes, and drivers inexperienced in driving on loose road surfaces often lack control of their vehicle when speeds are up to 100 kilometres per hour.
Thank you, Councillor Cogliari. Does any councillor seek further clarification? I actually have one, if I may. If we move the motion before us to reduce to 50 kilometres per hour, that Vic Roads will deem it in that 50 kilometres would be an exception to the rule rather than a standard, would they then just default it to 80, or do we have to specify 80?
Madam Mayor, if the notice of motion is passed as presented, Council will obviously request the speed limit on rural roads, gravel roads, be dropped to 50 kilometres per hour. If Vic Roads don't approve that, they won't by default therefore go to an 80 kilometre an hour zone, in my opinion. I think we would then need to reinstigate a request for a further review, looking at the 80 kilometre per hour option. So I think the best approach is to seek what we think is a reasonable speed limit to apply and go forward with that.
Okay. Now I'm thrown into a little bit of a quandary, because I'm just wondering, can we add the words to be reduced to, and this is only if the mover agrees, to be reduced to 50 kilometres per hour on the grounds that the roads... Can we get 80 in there somewhere? Can we put brackets, default to 80 if 50 isn't acceptable? I'm not sure.
Well, you could, Madam Mayor. You could, if you wished, move an amendment to the motion or seek the mover's concurrence to amend the motion to perhaps, after where it says in the city of Melton reduced to 50 kilometres per hour, you could put bracket or at the absolute maximum 80 kilometres per hour close bracket, which gives an out, I guess, or an alternate suggestion to be incorporated into the correspondence.
Okay, Councillor Cogliari, the only reason why I'm suggesting that is if 50 kilometres doesn't get anywhere, I'd hate it to be scrapped because there's nowhere to go. Hmm. But I think it's incredible, this notice of motion, and I think it should be endorsed at 50, but the advice we're given, it may not be.
I understand what you're saying, Madam Mayor, and I'm happy with that amendment.
Okay, so you're seconding it with that amendment?
I am. Okay, the motion before us now has been moved by Councillor Cogliari, seconded by Councillor Ramsay. Does any councillor else seek further clarification on what's just transpired? All those in favour of the motion? Motion is carried. Notice of Motion 404, Councillor Turner, duplication of the Ballarat rail line between Melton and Deer Park.
Madam Mayor, I'd like to move the motion that Council write to Jacinta Allen, MP Minister for Public Transport, requesting to be advised of the government's timeline for the duplication of the rail line between Deer Park and Melton, and also write to Don Ardella, MP, Marlene Caroots, and all Legislative Council members for Western Metropolitan and Western Victoria regions, calling them to advocate to the State Government for the urgent duplication in this inadequate single-track rail line. If people can just remember back to the last Labour government that was in power. I believe we had a promise in line there that the line to Melton would be upgraded by 2016. So I think we just need to remind them of that and just see, let's get some timeline from them. Madam Mayor, thank you.
Thank you, Councillor Turner. The motion's been moved by Councillor Turner. Do we have a seconder?
I'd like to second that. Thank you, Madam Mayor.
The motion before us has been moved by Councillor Turner, seconded by Councillor Dunn. Councillor Turner has already spoken to the motion. All those in favour? Motion's carried. Councillors, questions without notice? Neil? Motions without notice? Neil? Urgent business?
No.
Would someone like to move the procedural motion on page 290, please?
Madam Mayor, I'd like to move the procedural motion that pursuant to section 89(2) of Local Government Act 1989, that the meeting be closed to the public to consider the following reports that are considered confidential for reasons indicated: 18.1, 18.2, 18.3, 18.4, 18.5, 18.6 and 18.7.
Thank you, Councillor Turner. The motion has been moved by Councillor Turner. Do we have a seconder?
I'll second that, Madam Mayor.
The motion before us has been moved by Councillor Turner, seconded by Councillor Cugliari. All those in favour of the motion? Motion's carried. I'd like to thank the gallery for their attendance and their patience with us this evening. Please feel free to grab yourself a cup of tea or coffee, and we'll be out very shortly. Drive safely and good night. Remember, this week's Reconciliation Week, there's a friend